Welcome back to Never Found, Never Forgotten. I'm your host, Melanie, and today I am going to discuss a case with you. It is the disappearance of 19-year-old James Martin Roberts. He goes by the name of Martin. But this case reminds me a lot of the Bryceless piece of case that we talked about way back in episode 6. That seems like a long time ago. But there are some similarities in that they're both young college students and they vanish seemingly out of the blue. And Martin Roberts is a typical 19-year-old attending college in Boone, North Carolina. He's a member of a fraternity and he's seemingly doing well in school. He has told his family that he has a new job, which is going well, and everything seems really okay with Martin. The last confirmed sighting of Martin is on April 21st, 2016. Martin's dad had been expecting a phone call from him, and Martin didn't call. And his dad didn't get too concerned at this point because I guess Martin had a reputation for not being super great with the phone, not always calling back or texting people back. But the next day, when his dad still doesn't hear from him, he grows concerned. You know, they were making plans for summer, and, you know, Martin had told his dad he wanted to tell him about his first paycheck. And so his dad is concerned enough that he calls Martin's landlord. And the landlord calls Martin's roommates, and they tell the landlord that they saw him on April 21st, the day before, around 10:30 a.m., and that he told them he was heading to the library on campus. Martin's landlord asks his roommate to go into the room and just check to see if Martin is there. You know, maybe he's not feeling well, something's going on. And so a roommate does just that. He goes into Martin's room and he does not find Martin, but he does find a note. And this note alarms him enough that he calls Martin's dad. And Martin's dad immediately drops everything and he heads to Boone, North Carolina. The roommate's next call is to police. The letter, which hasn't been made public in its entirety, but his family has discussed it a little bit, and it just says that he's leaving. He sort of feels like his family has given him opportunities that he hasn't taken advantage of, and he feels disappointed in himself. The note does not say that he intends on harming himself, and his dad doesn't believe that Martin would harm himself, but the note still is very ominous. Police arrive and they search Martin's room for clues, and what they find is even more disturbing still. They find he left his phone behind, his iPad, a computer, his wallet. They're all still inside the room. They also find some antidepressant pills that are not prescribed to Martin. And Martin's family confirms that Martin, to their knowledge, has never been prescribed antidepressants. And police say that these aren't drugs that college students typically buy and sell. So they don't know how he got them or where they came from. And more importantly, they don't know why he has them. Police begin starting to put together a timeline of Martin's last movements on April 21st. And again, his roommates say that they saw him that morning and he told them he was heading to the library. Coincidentally, around lunchtime, Martin runs into a cousin who's attending Appalachian State University. And this is sort of a chance meeting. They've been unable to meet up since the semester began, so they haven't seen each other, even though they're attending the same school. And she says that they walked together for a little while. She was heading to a bus stop, and they were walking and talking, and Martin was telling her plans for next semester, and nothing seemed out of the ordinary. He tells her he's going to his frat house to hang out. and she gets on the campus bus, and that's the last time anyone sees or hears from Martin Roberts. Police do find camera footage from the bus, and they're able to see that Martin is walking away from the bus stop. Unfortunately, he disappears out of camera view, and there's no more sightings of Martin with this camera. Martin is seen, he's wearing shorts and sneakers and a windbreaker type jacket and has a small backpack. It's not, it's just like a backpack that you would carry for classes. It's not a backpack for camping or anything like that. Police also learn that this is not the first time that Martin has felt disappointed in himself. About 8 months before his disappearance, on his first night back on campus, for his sophomore year, Martin attended a party with his fraternity. He had been drinking even though he was still only 18 years old. So he was drinking underage, and then he also made the decision to drive. And Martin was picked up by police. He was arrested for DWI. And so Martin calls his girlfriend at the time, who lives more than 100 miles away, to come pick him up. And it's the middle of the night when he calls her. She's, you know, sort of wondering, like, why didn't you call someone closer to you? But whatever, she'll come get him. So she drives to Boone, North Carolina. She arrives there in the very early morning hours after driving about 2 hours. And she finds that Martin is already out of jail. So she's a little annoyed. And he tries to give her gas money. And she's frustrated. She was woken up in the middle of the night. She has driven for 2 hours. And he's already out. And they ended up arguing and sort of break up. The day after the arrest, Martin calls his dad and says he needs to come home. And at first they think it's, you know, just for a day or two, maybe a weekend. But Martin ends up withdrawing and taking the semester off, and he gets a job working for a family friend, and everything seems to go well. After a semester off, Martin decides he's ready to go back, and this time he's going to focus more on his schoolwork. And friends notice this difference in him. They say he is more focused on his schoolwork, and he's not quite as social and a little bit more quiet. And Martin tells his family that he's doing really well in school, and so everything seems to be back on track. But when Martin goes missing, the investigation reveals that Martin is not being truthful with anybody in his life. His mom and sister believe he is re-enrolled in Appalachian State University. In reality, after taking that semester off, he enrolled at Caldwell Community College and is taking some online classes. And so they find it shocking that, you know, he wasn't truthful about the school that he was even attending to them. Martin told his dad that he was doing well in school and that his grades were good. However, when police look into his records, they find that Martin has not logged into any of his classes in over a month. And Martin would tell his fraternity brothers that he was hanging out with his cousin. His cousin said that aside from that brief run-in at the bus stop the day he disappeared, she hadn't seen Martin in months. So where was he all this time? What's more is that while he had applied for several jobs, Martin didn't actually have a job. So the job he was telling his dad about and so excited to share with him and saying that it was going really well, it didn't exist. Immediately before Martin went missing, he suddenly withdrew from his fraternity chat group and his high school chat group. His girlfriend asked him about this, like, hey, what's going on? He said, you know, he made some cryptic sort of comments that alarmed her, saying he didn't have anyone to talk to and nobody would understand. Police and family are understandably growing very concerned. It seemed that Martin was trying to present sort of a perfect picture of himself to the world that became too hard to maintain and keep up. And that, along with the note, it just paints this very ominous picture. One of the fraternity brothers also tells police that the day before Martin goes missing, he had taken Martin to get a haircut, and he also got some groceries. But the fridge in Martin's room is completely empty. There's no food in it at all. So police and his family begin to speculate, you know, maybe he took the food with him and perhaps he went for a hike. He went into the woods to sort of get away, clear his head, and maybe he got lost, and or maybe he was injured. His family does say that he's not super outdoorsy. He was not an experienced camper, but they thought, you know, maybe he went out in the woods to clear his head. He clearly had a lot going on. Police do receive a call of a possible sighting, and this person saw him walking in a recreational area near Trout Lake. And this spot is near campus and it's popular with the college students. There's lots of hiking trails and you know, this beautiful lake. Over the course of a few days, some more possible sightings of Martin come in, and they're sort of in the same general area. So this adds more validity to the fact that Martin may have been in this area immediately after he disappeared. So police use a helicopter to search using infrared technology that would allow them to see the body heat of a human or an animal in contrast with the surrounding landscape. Unfortunately, that search didn't turn up anything. Police also used canine units to search Trout Lake and a nearby reservoir, and that also found it nothing. One thing that I didn't know, but I learned through the investigation discovery disappeared episode on this case, is that cadaver dogs can search on the water because the gases of decomposition will rise to the surface, so they're still able to smell decomposition even through the water, which I didn't know, which is really fascinating too, and another reason to love dogs, of course. But his family speculates that perhaps Martin was hiking and was able to meet up with the Appalachian Trail, but no sightings of Martin have been reported along the trail. His family also wonders if he tried to make his way toward the beach. They said that they liked going to the beach every year. Martin was not dressed for the weather or the elements. If he was taking an extended hike or planning on camping, he was only wearing shorts and sneakers and a light windbreaker. He also only had a very small backpack with him, so he didn't have other supplies. He also didn't take his bank card with him, and there's been no activity on his bank account. What is especially painful about this case is that Martin was clearly hurting. He was struggling, and his parents and his family and loved ones, they just desperately want him home, despite all of the lies and untruths. They just want him home. When you're 19, you think that things are the end of the world, and it's easy to believe that things are the end of the world, and it's really hard to see past your mistakes and your failures. But with the love and support of friends and family, you can bounce back. And unfortunately, Martin was hiding these things from his friends and family, so they were unable to help him. Anyone with information on the disappearance of James Martin Roberts are urged to call the Boone Police Department at 828-268-6900. If you or someone you love is struggling with thoughts of suicide, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. That's my episode for this week. Thanks for tuning in. Be safe and stay well, and I'll see you next week. Bye.